Hello and what is up, guys, and welcome back to Experts Hour after a long break. I'm Aaron Hirsch, and I'm joined here by
Josh Mann,
Devin Hendrick,
and Dawson Wolf.
So I'm sure if you're listening to this right now, you've been following March Madness, and a lot's been going on. We're down to the Final Four. Who is in that Final Four, Dawson? You want to tell us?
We have Villanova, the number one seed, versus another number one seed, Kansas. And on the other side, we have the future champion, number 11, Loyola Chicago, versus number 3, Michigan. Next up, we're going to talk about our biggest surprises and disappointments of this tournament so far. Josh, you want to start us off?
Yes, I would like to start us off with my boy, Lyles from UMBC. What a stud. Ladies and gentlemen, UMBC was the first ever 16 seed to take down a 1 seed. And UVA was the overall number 1 seed going into this tournament, and they lost to UMBC just right down the road from us. And wow, it was shocking. I remember I was on a bus coming back from New York, and we were all watching the game, and we were going absolutely nuts on the bus because it was just amazing what UMBC was doing to their defense. UVA hadn't allowed a 70-point score all year, and UMBC just put up like 74 points in them. They made every three they took, and it was just unbelievable to watch.
Yes, UVA just looked terrible during that game, and that is why they are a big disappointment in the tournament. But another pretty big disappointment in this year's tournament is Purdue's big man, Isaac Haas, went down with an injury, causing Purdue to take a pretty early exit this tournament.
Yeah, Purdue, well, they getting to the Sweet 16, I think, was pretty good for them without Haas, because I personally thought they were going to lose to, I forgot who they played in the round before.
Yeah, I agree. They played Butler.
Oh, yeah, I thought they were going to lose to Butler without Haas, because Haas is... He's just huge for them down low. And
they got blown out by Texas Tech.
I wouldn't say they got blown out, but
13.
It was close the whole game, and then they kind of lost it towards the end. But Purdue, I've had Purdue going pretty far in all my brackets, and losing Isaac Haas, I knew that was just not going to happen anymore.
My biggest disappointment was Michigan State. I had them going really far in almost every single bracket, and they just couldn't get it done against Syracuse. I was waiting for Bridges to make a big shot at the end of the game, and I just couldn't find him, and they choked.
The first night of the tournament, I was very excited because I had a perfect bracket until the very last game, which was Arizona, who a lot of people had in the Final Four and a lot of people's sleepers this year, but they got blown out by 20 in the very first game, so that was very disappointing.
Yeah, Arizona had the best player in college basketball, DeAndre Ayton. And
he'll still go number one.
Probably. And another probably top 10 player in the country, Alonzo. I don't even know how you say
Alonzo
his last
true.
Name. Yeah, he's really good. And it was just very disappointing. I personally believe that the FBI and all that jazz kind of got in Arizona's head, and they knew that they were going to be screwed either way,
it also
win or loss.
That, Buffalo didn't miss a shot. They had 95 points.
I still can't believe they lost by that much.
Yeah, that was crazy. Or they had 89, but still.
And obviously, another big surprise here, we have Loyola Chicago here in the Final Four playing Michigan. Some people may say they're not surprised, but 11 seed the Final Four, come on. You have to be surprised.
I'm surprised.
I had predicted them going to the Sweet 16, but I didn't think they could beat Cincinnati. But Cincinnati obviously didn't even make it there. So I think in terms of comparing them with Kansas State and Nevada, I think they're better than both those two teams. But that's just showing how weak their region is.
Yeah, I thought Loyola Chicago is a great team, but just looking at the teams that they had to go through, they didn't really have to play anyone too amazing. Kansas State, Nevada, Tennessee. That was the highest
team they
beat. I
think, in my opinion, their hardest game was Miami. Miami was pretty good. It looked like they deserved to win. And then we all saw Loyola Chicago hit that buzzer beater. That was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably their hardest game so far. I think Michigan will be a good test for them.
Loyola Chicago got really lucky with all the upsets in their region.
Yeah.
They got very lucky, and that
I
pretty
think
much gave them
Virginia,
the region.
But not Arizona or Kentucky.
I still shock that everyone said that they were going to be the team to make a run, and they got it right. Because I had never heard of the school until the tournament started, and all the experts and all my friends said, oh, Loyola Chicago is going to make a run, watch it. And bang, here we are now. They're in the Final Four.
It's all about Caleb Krutwig, the big
Krutwig.
Man. The big man.
He looks like an
Have
ogre.
You seen his footwork? It's fantastic.
Too bad Sister Jean will be disappointed after this week's game.
No.
Do you like Michigan, Devin?
No, but I want them to win.
The whole thing.
I like Michigan. I think Michigan's really good. I think they'll give Villanova a run for their money.
The Muslim Mamba.
Mahmoud
Abdul-Rahman or whatever.
Oh, yeah, he's so good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I would have to say another, well, as Dawson spoke about earlier, another kind of surprise was Syracuse. Many people didn't even think they should be in the tournament, and they won their first game. They beat TCU, and they also beat Michigan State, who a lot of people had in the Final Four and championship game. And I think Syracuse, I personally knew that they were really good, and that zone they play is just so hard to score against, especially since all Syracuse's starting five and pretty much the five that play the whole game are 6'4 and above. It's impossible to score against that zone.
Yeah, just another little fun fact I want to throw out there is one of my favorite games is when Clemson beat Auburn by 31. I love that because I thought Auburn was way too overseeded. They should have been like a 7, and I just looked at my phone and saw the notification. I was shocked. It was the only 30-point game of this year's tournament.
Another surprise is Cincinnati up in the top left of the bracket. They were beating Nevada by 22 in the second half and were cruising their way to play in the Sweet 16, but they choked. Nevada came back and ended up winning 75-71, and that right there opened up for our boys Loyola Chicago to make it to the Final Four. And I would say another very, very big surprise is the way Carolina showed up in the round of 32 and just played like they're freaking five-year-olds. It was ridiculous. I'm a big UNC fan, and that was very hard to watch. I was yelling at my TV the whole game because they couldn't throw a rock in the darn ocean. And Texas A&M threw every rock in the ocean. They did not miss anything.
I was also kind of disappointed to see Colin Sexton lose in the second round because they were neck and neck in the first half, and they lost the second half by like 20.
Very disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean, attendance at that game.
Everyone, Devin was there. But everyone saw that coming. No one thought Alabama was going to win the game. I mean, everyone would love to see Colin Sexton move on because he's just an absolute walking bucket.
Yeah, they had an easy first game, obviously.
Whoa. They only won by 3. Let's calm down.
Virginia Tech had to lead the whole game, too, and they kind of blew it towards the end.
They choked.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of impressed by Villanova. I know they're amazing, but I didn't think they were this good. I mean, they're blowing out quality
teams.
They are
a one seed.
Every single game, but they're more than a one seed.
And I didn't.
The only game they had that really impressed me was against West Virginia. They won by 12 at the end.
The Alabama game was
pretty
impressive.
They dominated every single game they've played.
Yeah, they pretty much dominated Texas Tech the whole game.
Very good.
I mean, they got to the Sweet 16. They're a 3 seed. I think they're pretty good, and especially in a good conference in the Big 12.
The Duke Kansas game was a good game.
Oh, it was awesome.
I think both of those teams deserve to make the Final Four. But
I don't think Duke deserves to win out of the round of 64.
They're good.
They suck. Grayson Allen, I hate
him. I want to see my boy Bagley go all the way.
I hate every single thing about Duke. Carolina also did beat Duke twice this year. I'm just saying. Oh, no, he's pretty good. I'll have to admit.
Future Grizz?
Yes.
No.
But in that Kansas-Duke game, there was a big call towards the end of the game. They called a charge on Wendell Carter, and that fouled him out of the game.
That was terrible.
Many people believe it was not a charge, or was a charge. I personally believe it was a blocking foul, and they got the call right. Because as he was sliding over, you could clearly see he was moving his foot right as he took the fall. And it's the ref made the right call. That has to be a charge. Because if you're moving it in any sort of way, it's a charge, or it's a blocking foul.
Although I am disappointed that Xavier lost in the second round because Trayvon Blewett is my guy.
He blew it.
I thought Florida State did a little better than I expected. I didn't think they would beat Gonzaga by that much. But
in every single one of my brackets, I had Xavier losing in round of 32 to whoever they played because I knew they were not very good.
Missouri disappointed as well.
And Gonzaga getting blown out by Florida State, that surprised me. They weren't even, like, Gonzaga didn't show up. They kind of played like Carolina did in round of 32 when they just weren't there mentally. And look what happened. They get blown out. I think a lot of people saw Michigan coming out of that West bracket, though.
I did not. I was not one of those people.
Michigan's good.
They got a free win pretty much because they just caught fire.
Well, Michigan has they did catch fire at the end of the season. They started playing really well. They won the Big Ten tournament, and now they're looking to win
the
tournament.
It seems like they're averaging the most points per game of all the Final Four teams.
All of the teams in the Final Four besides Loyola Chicago won their conference tournament. Fun fact.
Well, so did Loyola Chicago, didn't they?
That is a good point. But
so all these teams have been there before. They've all won championships. The question is who will win two.
And that is where we get to pick later, but let's see. What else has happened over this tournament that we can talk about? Let's talk about some key players who we think of, like, for on these Final Four teams that we think can really put their team over the top.
What were you just saying?
I was saying something else.
Okay. Ignore Devin. Let's start with Villanova. Obviously, we have future player of the year, Jalen Brunson. And
don't forget about Bridges.
Yeah.
He is just the key part. Part to that team. He's a key part to that team, and he literally runs the show over there in Villanova. And they also have players. Their big guy Spillman. He can play inside, do the dirty work, and shoot the three ball, and that's key in college. You need to have bigs that can shoot the three.
And Michael Bridges.
Yeah, Mikal Bridges. He's good. I don't like Villanova because of what they did to Carolina a few years ago in the championship game, but if we're going to have to look at the team right now, they have to be the clear favorite to win it.
I think they'll beat Kansas. What's the guy's name? Devontae Graham?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Devontae Graham's really good.
Yeah,
Malik Newman.
He seemed the only positive point that I took away from that Kansas team. Like, it seemed like the rest of them had just a team effort. Their big men played all right.
Excuse me. Malik Newman had 30. Newman.
He went 30. 6-for-7
Clearly
from 3.
You didn't watch the game.
Oh. Clearly, you don't watch anything.
I watched the whole game.
Oh, excuse me. Well, why did you not notice
Malik
Newman had 30?
The other African guy. He just seemed inconsistent.
Devontae Graham?
No, Asabuke.
Yeah,
him. He's a dog.
He was their main guy.
He's like 6'11", 280. Yeah. Nobody is stopping him.
Yeah, well, that's what we said about Aiden.
No, but he just needs to stay out of foul trouble, because if he fouls out against Villanova, Kansas will lose.
Yeah,
big time.
I agree.
It just seemed like Kansas got a little lucky to me.
I think Kansas is really good. That white guy they have, I forgot
his
name.
I'm not taking anything away from them. I just think,
Duke didn't finish the game well.
Yeah.
They took some
Grayson Allen
shots.
Also couldn't throw a rock in the ocean.
Thank God. I hate
until
him.
That last
glad. I'm very glad he couldn't throw anything in the ocean. He sucks. I don't like him.
He threw a loss in the ocean.
Yeah, he did throw a big loss to Duke. I think, though, to be honest, if Wendell Carter does not foul out of the game, then Duke wins. Because having those two bigs in there, Wendell Carter and Marvin Bagley, they're unstoppable together.
I agree. But, yeah, I think Villanova is going to win. But if I had to choose a team, I would definitely choose Michigan. That's who I'm rooting for.
Yeah, let's move over to the left side. The two Final Four teams, Loyola Chicago and Michigan. Michigan has some really good players. That one Aaron mentioned earlier. We have Mo Wagner. We have, what's the white guy? Robinson. He doesn't miss anything. He's so good. Mm-hmm. And if Michigan catches fire like they did against Texas A&M, there's no possible chance they'll lose ever.
Yeah, that guy can shoot. That's one thing that Michigan does have the advantage on. It's shooting.
Loyola Chicago, they're more of a get it to the rim and make layups kind of team, but Michigan can do both.
They can
get to the rim and shoot the three.
Loyola Chicago is a much more well-rounded team, but they just have less talent.
I agree with that. They know how to play defense and lock teams down, but they also know how to
according
get
to
everyone
this,
points.
It says that Michigan and Villanova are both favored to win by 5. What do you guys
think?
Well,
I'm going with the upset in both of them.
Really?
Yes. Loyola Chicago will win. Richardson's going to drop hella threes. And the other guy, Custer, or whatever his name is.
Clayton Custer.
Oh, and in
Custer.
The last game, Charles Matthews led Michigan with 17 points.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty good.
Michigan scoring.
Almost the whole game, too.
Yeah, Michigan scoring can be all well-rounded most games.
Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman.
But I do think that Mo Wagner will have 25 and 12 against Loyola Chicago.
Duncan Robinson.
Loyola Chicago, I think they're a pretty small team from what I've noticed so far. They don't have the bigs like Michigan do. Michigan's just going to... I think Michigan's...
Is injured? It says he's injured.
Nah, he's not injured.
I think Loyola Chicago's...
It says he's set
Cinderella run will come to an end. Michigan will beat them by at least 15 points.
Mm-mm.
Bold prediction.
Oh, Cameron Crutwig. I apologize, Crutwig. Cameron. I'm not going to disrespect you like that.
Sister Jean will... She even picked Loyola Chicago to lose in the Sweet 16 in her bracket. But now,
and
look at them. They're here.
Yep.
They're here, ladies and gentlemen. They're in the Final Four, but that's just unfortunate. They will lose.
False.
All right,
there you go.
I was just going to say that brings us to our official predictions.
Yeah. We're not going to do a consensus pick here because we don't do very well at that.
We'll just see who gets it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
so,
I like that.
Aaron, you start.
Ooh, which game are we starting with?
Doesn't matter. Just talk about who you think's going to win, and then both games.
Am I doing all three, or am I just doing one? Then
all
just
three.
Do all three.
All three? All right, well, what I see happening is Villanova will beat Kansas, and it'll be very close. I honestly think that Michigan, Loyola, Chicago will probably be a 10-digit point win, but I could see either team winning. I think that Michigan will probably win, though. And then Villanova will beat Michigan in the finals.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
I'm going with Loyola Chicago and Ben Richardson, along with Custer, the high school dynamic duo, are going to beat Michigan. They're going to lock them down, hold them to under 80 points. I think that's a good number. Under 80. For Michigan, that's a good number. They're going to beat Michigan, go to the finals, and they're going to see Kansas in the finals because Newman will stay hot. He will not miss at the end of the game. He scored the last 9 points for them in overtime, and he's going to do the same thing against Villanova. And in the championship, Kansas versus Loyola Chicago. That's a tough one. I want to pick Loyola Chicago, but I had to go Kansas because Newman is too freaking good.
Okay, I'm first going to go with Michigan against Loyola Chicago because I think they'll come out on fire, making every shot, and it'll just be too much for Loyola Chicago to handle. And on the other side, I'm going to go with Kansas because I just feel like this is going to be an upset. Even though it's two number ones, pretty much everyone I've talked to is saying how good Villanova is and that they're definitely going to win. So I'm going Kansas, Michigan, and then the finals, I'm going to go with Michigan just to change things up.
Oh, Devin, you're a smart guy. I completely agree with you on every single one of those picks. I think on the left side, Michigan, Loyola Chicago, I think Mo Wagner is going to have 25-12 and just absolutely dominate Loyola Chicago's down low. And then on the right side, I think that big guy for Kansas, I keep forgetting his name, but I think he's just too much for Villanova and too much down low, and he's a big key to how they play. And like Dawson said, I think Malik Newman's going to stay on fire, and he might have 25 more points. And I think they're going to beat Villanova, and then Michigan will win the championship because Michigan will come out on freaking fire, ladies and gentlemen.
I kind of want to change both my picks.
They will come out on freaking fire, and Mo Wagner will have 20, Robinson will have 20. Just everything will just be dropping like flies for Kansas, and Michigan will make everything. And ladies and gentlemen, Michigan will be your national champions.
I can definitely see Loyola Chicago winning now that I think about it. Because
you agree with me.
Because Cameron Krutlig is so good on defense, and Michigan just has big who will get stopped. And then I can also see Villanova just choking because of Michael Paddock. So I don't know what to think. I guess I'll just keep my original answers.
Okay.
But anything can happen. I wouldn't be surprised about anything.
And some more college basketball news. LiAngelo Ball has declared for the NBA draft. And I personally believe he will be a second-round pick by yours truly, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised about that either. I don't think he's going to go to the Lakers, though. I can see him getting drafted around like 40 to 55 range, somewhere around there.
I don't think he's going to get drafted this year. I think he's going to go back to Lithuania or another overseas team and just keep trying until he gets drafted.
I doubt.
But eventually he will get drafted. Maybe not this year, but he will.
I doubt he'll have an impact on any team if he does get drafted, though. I could just see him...
I can see him fighting for a spot.
Just like a name reason.
Yeah, I feel like he's one of those players who can develop in the G League and then make his way up to the NBA and then have, I don't know, I wouldn't say a big-time role, but
He could be a decent role player for a team in a few years.
Some other players who declared for the draft, obviously DeAndre Ayton, who is the future number one pick, future Grizz, possibly.
Maybe.
We have...
Michael Porter.
Michael Porter declared for the draft. His draft stock went way down, unfortunately, because of how he played in the Big 12 tournament. I think they're in the Big 12, and then the actual tournament. He did not have a good showing, and unfortunately decreased his draft stock. And then we also have Colin Sexton, who's going to be a top five pick, who's really good, and he's going to help whatever team he goes to, possibly a future Grizz.
Possibly. I would love to see that.
And then, from what my understanding is, I believe Marvin Bagley and Wendell Carter will declare for the draft. Those are two huge bigs.
Mo Bamba from Texas.
Yes, he declared.
Ole Alkins from Arizona. He's pretty good. Who else? Anfernee Simmons out of high school from IMG Academy. A lot of people are interested about him. He's supposed to be a top 20 pick.
Yeah, that's crazy. They changed the rule this year so you can come straight from high school. And I think I might also do that as well because as a basketball player, I would love to get drafted.
What do you guys think about Trae Young?
Ooh.
He declared as well.
Yes, he also declared. That's the big name I'm forgetting. And I love Trae Young, ladies and gentlemen. He is such a good player. He's going to be
He has a really good IQ for the game. Obviously, he can shoot lights out.
Obviously, he's compared to Steph Curry. And he will be nowhere as good as Steph Curry, don't get me wrong. But I think he can be definitely a worse version of him. His core vision is very good, and he can shoot the three ball from anywhere.
If I'm Trae Young, I'm doing whatever I can to get on the Warriors and learn everything from Steph Sure, I can come off
the
bench.
Well, they already have Quinn Cook.
Screw that guy. I'm better than him. I'm Trae Young. Come on. I'm going to learn everything from Steph, and in a couple years, I'm going to take his spot. Nice and easy.
When Steph leaves.
I really like Trae Young. It's just I don't like his shot selection that much. He has, like, in
like
the tournament, he shot some questionable shots. And, yes, I do like Steph Curry's shot selection because he can make it from anywhere, contested or not, and he's proven that. Unlike Trae Young, who's proven he can make it, but, like,
he's got to be open.
Yeah. And the shots aren't always good for his team because didn't they go on, like, an 11-game losing streak or something?
Yeah.
They lost a lot of games. Yeah. And he wasn't playing too hot and he had a terrible field goal percentage. So,
the thing I love about Trae Young is the reason why people compare him to Steph Curry is because he always wants to drive to the basket even though everyone knows he can shoot, and he does that very well. Like, at the end of the game they lost to
Rhode Island.
You could see him at the end when they were losing. He just kept getting the basket. No one could really stop him. And he also averages a lot of assists, and people sleep on that too. He knows how to get his teammates involved, and I think that his supporting cast this year just wasn't good enough for them. But he's a really good player.
I think he has the range and the shot of Steph Curry, but the shot selection of Russell Westbrook.
Well, that is a good comparison.
You love roasting Russell Westbrook.
But I think Aaron said it best. His surrounding cast this year, his teammates were not very good. If he was on any better team in the country, they would have had a better record and he would have had a better season. Like, the fact that he averaged 9.3 assists or something this year with the supporting cast he had is insane. That shows that even with bad players, he can get them open and get them the ball. And with it, he had to average 20-something points a game for them to win.
Yeah,
even have a chance to win these games.
I could definitely see him getting drafted by, like, the Magic or something, and that team would be pretty good right away because he would have some athletic guys around him, and he wouldn't have to take every shot, but he'd still be, like, that knockdown shooter.
I wouldn't say good right away, but I would say significant. They would have a much improved record compared to this season.
The only problem is his defense, probably, because he's smaller for sure, like, if he was guarding, like, Westbrook or Curry or, like, Chris Paul or Harden, he would have a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I mean, those are some of the best point guards in the game. So, like, anyone would have trouble guarding Harden or Curry.
I guess. Like, but, like, yeah, he's got a long way to go. That's for sure.
And always, rookies always have a long way to go when they come in.
Some other guys we have declaring are Robert Williams out of Texas A&M.
No idea who that is.
Bruce Brown from Miami. He's pretty good. I watched him. Cameron Chapman from Detroit. Tyler Cook from Iowa. Dang Edel from Louisville. And Terrence Davis from Ole Miss. I'm sure they're all good, but I haven't really heard of them.
They won't be top 10 in lottery picks, but they will.
And there's also, what's that dude's name? Luka Doncic from Europe.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
He's supposed to be a top 5 pick, I heard.
I don't think
as good as people think, but we'll find out. Like, Porzingis.
Foreign players are always a risk. Like Porzingis, Dragon Bender.
He's a bust.
He's a
bust and a half.
Yeah.
All right, so I think that is it. From your boys, Josh Mann,
Aaron Hirsch,
Devin Hendrick,
and Dawson Wolf.
This has been our rare episode of Expert Hour, and we out.